I have a face for the radio. I can't think of a picture of me where I looked even remotely like a rock star. Don't start the talking. And then, of course, a whole number of people who equally had misshapen forms and odd faces and strange names all appeared at once, and it sort of legitimized looking kind of plain. I was asked to write an autobiography when I was 24, and I sort of said, could I just maybe take a slight pause to live a little bit?
Why now?
My opinion about music isn't superior to anybody else, but it is my opinion. And it's coloured by the perspective afforded to me as a child by watching my father perform, my mother being so involved in music, knowing my grandfather travelled the world playing a trumpet.
It struck me as inevitable you were going to be a musician. There was no choice, was there?
We all just love music, and you don't sit around analysing it when you're a child. I was almost painfully possessive about music, as people often are in their teens, and didn't want it tainted by anything like making a living from it. And then, almost by sheer accident, I stumbled into it.
My aim is true. In 78, you started to make a splash. It kind of just took off.
Oh, no, I was working in an office one week, and 2 weeks later I was on the cover of The Melody Maker, which an awful lot of people read. But I got there not by playing a great show, but by getting arrested in a publicity stunt trying to get myself a record contract in the United States. And I did, by the way, at the cost of £5 fine. Then I was sort of an overnight success.
On top of the pops, this is the Red Shoes man, Elvis Costello. And this time, he's watching the detectives.
You write about the night when, fueled by drugs and alcohol, you described Ray Charles using the N-word.
Yes, well, that chapter is the shortest, not because it's the least significant to me, but perhaps in some ways the trajectory of my career, if not my life, pivots on that night, in some people's view. It took me a long time to write the shortest chapter. Obviously, it was somebody I held in such high regard. When this incident happened, it was speaking the exact opposite for effect. Whatever the convoluted, distorted logic that I'd arrived at, I had imagined that people understood what was going on in my head. And that's a dangerous way to go. He, at the time, showed great generosity, saying that people shouldn't be judged by their behavior when they were drunk.
Talking about your own oeuvre, where would you put a song like Shipbuilding?
Is it worth it? Well, it's a very beautiful melody that Clive Langer wrote. And it's a song which has returned to me from night to night over the years as something I wanted to sing. Because the dilemma that's in the song is one that's presented to people all the time. You know, do you want the job? Do you want your security that much that we'll go to war about it? And what's the objective? And those things are all behind the questions in the song. It's just a rumor that will
spread around town. What would you say your relationship is with Britain nowadays?
Well, I still carry the passport. Maybe in the time that I was first living in North America, the connection with England got a little bit more stretched. But I said to my agent 2 years ago, I occasionally see an advert for David Essex touring England. And whenever David tours England, he plays everywhere. He plays Grimsby and he plays Inverness. I said, how come I don't go there? Anything David does, I want to do that. Oh, I used to be disgusted,
and now I try to be amused. I've never imagined that I'd hear Elvis Costello saying that he wanted to follow in the footsteps of David Essex.
Yeah, whatever David does, I'm doing that. I actually did just turn down Panto.
What were you offered?
Captain Hook.
And why do you say no?
Because it's at Christmas time and I'll be with my kids. I won't get any older now, the angels wanna win.